Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Unsere Krankenhäuser sind immer für uns da. Tag und Nacht. In ganz Deutschland. Sie möchten mehr zur neuen Krankenhausreform wissen? Dann sind Sie hier richtig. Krankenhaus-mit-zukunft.de. Eine Information des Bundesministeriums für Gesundheit.
All bound for Moomooland, they're justified and they're agent and they drive an ice cream van. They're justified and they're agent with no master plan. Come on, Sue Sylvester. That song's a banger.
If I saw it at a show choir invitational.
First prize. Exactly. Justified and Ancient by KLF and Tammy Wynette. My favorite thing about this song is Tammy Wynette, country superstar, famous for, among other songs, the song Stand By Your Man. Justified and Ancient was a song that was released in the 80s. And then in the 90s, they re-released it with Tammy Wynette featuring on vocals. And they retitled the re-release Justified and Ancient, open parentheses, Stand By the Jams, close parentheses. And that is comedy. It's even in the lyrics, Tammy Wynette sings, they called me up in Tennessee. They said, Tammy, stand by the jams.
All I'm asking for is someone to call me and ask me to stand by the jams.
Every day, I'm like, is today
stand
the day I get the call?
The jams. Come on.
I'm fully prepared
I'm
to do it.
I'm waiting the call.
I just need the invite.
Yeah, literally. I'm just ready to stand by the jams.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've not yet stood by the jams.
No, it's not.
Because I haven't been asked to.
Exactly.
Welcome to Recovering Gleek, a podcast for all of your complicated feelings about the TV show Glee.
Hello, everyone!
Welcome
to
your episode
on the
Hurt Locker
Party!
Okay, listen. I spent like all of my recap writing time last night searching for an AI generator that would turn my voice into Billy the Puppet's voice, and I didn't find anything.
Billy the Puppet?
Yeah, you know, the jigsaw voice.
Is his name Billy?
Well, so Billy the Puppet is the little puppet. You would hate it.
I know, that's why I've never seen it.
Hate it.
I'm the person that had to look away when we watched, what is that, Birds of Prey together.
Yeah.
Because Birds of Prey was too violent for me.
No, totally. But that movie is pretty violent. But it is like, you'd hate it. Anyway, but Billy the Puppet is the little puppet guy. Jigsaw is like the serial killer. Billy the Puppet is the puppet that, you know, is this face. You know what I'm saying?
There's layers to this. I really thought that the puppet was Jigsaw. And then the serial killer behind the puppet was just the serial killer behind Jigsaw.
Yeah.
I thought they were like synonymous.
I hear that. I think the Billy the Puppet is like the ghost face to now.
You are making perfect sense. And also, I'm not doubting you because have seen the Saw movies and I haven't. Billy the Puppet is Kermit the Frog. Jigsaw is Jim Henson. I get you.
Yeah, sure, sure.
I just did not know that. And I'm so shocked.
Either way, I really thought in my mind, I was like, I'm going to come in here today with a recap that sounds like the, like, you know, like, let's play a game thing. And I was going to eat it up, but I couldn't do it because a lot of AI I have learned over the last day costs money.
Oh, it's also like, scary and unsettling.
Exactly. And also, no one's doing anything for me. Why would I pay the computer? It's the computer.
Susie, these robots don't need our money.
They don't need my money.
They're going to start a robot economy?
And listen, okay. I'm sure I get someone coded that. Come on.
Do your best, Billy the Puppet, right here, right now.
Okay. Hello, Ian.
Here's the thing.
I want to play.
I don't know if it's correct or not. So you, in my eyes, you're blowing the roof off the place.
Pretty good. Honestly, yeah, I think I'm eating it up.
The most Billy the Puppet exposure I have is Scary Movie 4, and that's the truth.
Honestly, I've never seen Scary Movie 4, but I'm sure it's good enough. And also, the Sue Sylvester one is pretty good.
Oh, true. I also have Sue Sylvester. In an episode that I watched a half hour ago, and I already forgot the Billy the Puppet.
Literally, how many times did you watch The Hurt Locker Part 2?
I've only watched it twice, mostly because I just ran out of time. I probably would have watched it again, but I ran out of time. So I just watched it twice.
Yeah. Cool.
What about you?
I watched it thrice.
Heck yeah. I also lied to you. I watched it three times as well. I forgot that I fully watched it last night because I watched it when I watched Hurt Locker Part 1 and then couldn't stop.
Yeah.
I watched it this morning. I forgot I watched it last night. Continue.
Nice. You woke up early to watch TV. Yeah. Good for you. I woke up at 7:22.
I mean, so did I. I just watched it fast forward.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
That's usually what I do right before the episode is I put it on like 1.5 just to jog my memory.
I don't know that it's my favorite episode of Glee, but it is definitely up there. I really love this episode so much.
I love this episode too. I stand by what I said last week, which is I'm a Hurt Locker Part 1 girly. I stand by my jam, which is the Hurt Locker Part 1. Hurt Locker Part 2 is also excellent. I'm not disparaging this episode.
No, but not I at just all.
Personal That's okay. preference like Part 1 more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll get into why this episode goes over the top for me. I'll wax on about all the shit that I love so much about this episode, but I love Hurt Locker Part 1 as well. And honestly, I think they go hand in hand.
Yeah.
Like when we watched them the other day, we had to continue. Mm-hmm. We had to.
Mm-hmm. Well, hi, everybody. My name is Ian Allred. They called me up in Tennessee and they said, Ian, stand by the jams. And I said, you got it. I'm there. And they said, Ian, also be a Gleek. And I said, way ahead of you, sister.
Literally.
Do you know who you're talking to?
King of the Gleeks. Hello, Gleeks.
Billy the Puppet.
Before me was a choice, and it was either be a Gleek or not, and I chose be a Gleek. The choice was mine. Hey, I'm Lena.
You know what we should have done?
What?
We should have gotten lipstick and done little jigsaw swirls.
You have no idea. I have been like wanting to do that, but because I have work, I just can't.
Who cares?
Risk it. I know, right? Right?
I used to be professional. Whatever.
I know. We could still do it. Should I do it? I have to do a skincare routine anyway.
Here we are, The Hurt Locker Part 2, Season 6, Episode 5. Ending our two-part series on the two-part episode that we have been talking about for 2 years. Lots of twos. End of an era. Lena is currently looking for lipstick to put on her face.
In the meantime, is it?
I don't know.
This is the best I got. I had like a red lip liner. I don't know where it is. Probably in a purse.
Wait, I'm going to do a Billy the Puppet voice.
I had like a whole thing planned.
What was your thing?
I was going to dress up, but I was a coward.
And you were going to ride it on a tricycle?
Yeah.
You still could. Does this sound like Billy the Puppet?
Honestly, it's just a spooky low voice, so yeah.
Are you ready for some Hurt Locker Part 2 collects?
Yeah, you better keep up with this the whole time, because I plan to for the recap, so...
Great.
Stand by your jam.
Oh yeah, it's time for the collects!
A disclaimer, I have never seen Saw. This impression is going off of a 7-second video that I just watched right now. So I don't know if it's accurate at all. The Hurt Locker Part 2 is the 5th episode of Season 6 of Glee and the 113th overall. Oh, I should have started it by saying, hello, Lena Knatzer. Do you want to play a game?
Yes.
Before you lays a choice, I am going to list off a bunch of fun facts about the 113th episode of Glee, The Hurt Locker Part 2. And afterwards, you can give me a recap of what happened in that episode, or you can die.
Whoa!
The choice is yours. Billy the Puppet! I'm still reeling that that's Billy the Puppet and not like Jigsaw proper.
I don't think it's as complicated as...
No, I get it. Yeah. I get it. But just like... I didn't realize that it had its own name. Anyways, sorry, Billy. Sorry to cut you off. It's okay, Ian. You're my favorite.
Billy, I'm such a fan.
Lena, you're just okay. You've got some bonus movies. Points for the Billy the Puppet blush that you put on a few moments ago. So, this episode of Glee, The Hurt Locker Part 2, aired on January 30th, 2015, Whoa. 1 week after The Hurt Locker Part 1. It, like its counterpart, was written by Ian Brennan, but unlike its counterpart, which was directed by Ian Brennan, this episode was directed by Barbara Brown. She was a script supervisor on Glee for a few years. This is her Glee directing debut.
Whoa!
The songs in this episode are My Sharona by The Knack, performed by The Warblers. You Spin Me Round, open parentheses like a record, close parentheses, by Dead or Alive, also performed by The Warblers. Longtime listeners of this podcast may remember that this is not the first time that this song was supposed to be on Glee. Originally, in the episode The First Time in Season 3, Clayne were going to sing the song as a duet at Scandal, mashed up with You Really Want to Hurt Me by Culture Club, while Blaine was being flirted with by Barry Allen. This is Skylar the Warblers.
I'm glad Billy knows all about Barry Allen.
I'm a huge Billy Allen fan. I love Grant Gustin. The Flash is my favorite TV show. That's actually what got me into Glee, was knowing that Grant Gustin had guest starred in season 3.
Whoa, Billy.
Oh my God.
That's surprising.
I love the way he plays mind games with people. I find it very relatable.
Oh, that actually makes sense.
Honestly, tracks.
He said, Finn Hudson, before you is a choice. I can release these nudes I photoshopped your head onto, or you can drop out of regionals. New directions, before you is a choice. I can throw this rock salt in Kurt Hummel's face,
or
you can leave this parking garage.
Kurt said, before you was a choice, I can release this video of you throwing rock salt in my boyfriend's eyes, mm-hmm. or you, what did he drop out?
Santana Lopez said,
it.
Before you was a choice, I can release your confession tape to my underboob, or you can stop blackmailing the New Directions.
Oh my God, that's what happened. Oh, honestly, right. that would be Jigsaw's favorite part.
He loves Grant Gustin. He's wearing a Barry Allen TV t-shirt right now. He's got it's red. It's got a little lightning bolt on it. He's into it.
All right, this last glact is a bit of a spoiler, so everyone get ready to skip forward right now. This is You Spin Me Round is the last Warbler performance in the entire TV show, because if you remember, the Warblers get disbanded before the end of the season. So the next time the Warblers perform, they're not technically the Warblers anymore.
Yeah. Oh, I am an Ember.
Yeah. Which I have thoughts on that, but not for right now.
Yeah.
After that, the next song, these next three songs are all the New Directions. We have It Must Have Been Love by Roxette. This is Kitty's first song in season 6, Kitty's only duet in season 6, and Spencer's only duet ever in the entire show. Then we have Father Figure by George Michael, performed by the New Directions. This is Roderick's last solo in the TV show, which is devastating. But keep in mind that to qualify as a solo, it has to be one vocalist the entire song with no one else featuring. So Roderick does still sing. It's just his last full song.
Thank God.
And this Glact is crazy. It really blew my little puppet mind when I read it. Which is that this is the first time in all of Glee that a New Directions competition number has been led by a male soloist. That's wild. But the reason that it's that is that every other time that a male has had lead vocals on a solo, it is a duet with a woman. Whereas any time that a solo has been, a competition number has been led by one person, it's always been Rachel Berry. But the only competition number to be led by a man in all of Glee. Well, New Directions, pardon me.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then
that Glock blew my mind.
Crazy, right? And then we end with All Out of Love by Air Supply by the New Directions. I can't say the name Air Supply without thinking of Heather's.
Air Supply. You're making me sound like
Air Supply every time. So, in this number, we see a bunch of flashbacks of Sue Sylvester auditioning for different Hollywood movies, one of which is Pretty Women, which, fun fact, the song All Out of Love, which the New Directions also sang in this episode, is on the soundtrack of Pretty Women. Pretty Women, pardon me, Pretty Woman, singular, Pretty Women. Just Julia Roberts. There's not multiple of them.
It's just the one.
Just the singular Pretty Woman. This episode features the return of Michael Hitchcock as Dalton Roomba. It is also the final appearance of Dalton Roomba, which is very tragic. He's going to the farm upstate where he will yell at everyone about the fact that he has scarlet fever. Kendra will try and guide him around and he'll say, "What? Scarlet fever?" This is the seventh episode of Glee where all members of the New Directions present have a solo. This is also true of The Pilot, Britney 2.0, Tina in the Sky with Diamonds, Acadia or Gaga, End of Twerk, and Homecoming. This is very interesting, this next Glact. This is the only episode of Glee in the entire show where not a single member of the main cast sings.
Ah, wow.
Because every solo in this episode is all the warblers, or the newbies, and Kitty, although she's been around for two seasons, is not a member of the main cast. She is a series regular.
Honestly, I dig that.
The rest of these Glacks actually are pretty crazy. So this is the first episode since season three. Stop laughing, please. This is professional. I am a puppet of business. I'm not here to mess around.
Really? I want you to understand how far I'm suspending my disbelief right now. Like, to me, it is amazing that Jigsaw / Billy the Puppet would enjoy these Glacks so much. I'm like, oh, I'm so glad.
Oh, well, I don't know why that's so amazing. I think it's pretty in character with everything you know about me. But I'm glad you're enjoying it. This is the first episode of Glee since season 3, episode 12, The Spanish Teacher, to not feature a solo by either Rachel or Blaine. That is nearly three entire seasons where either Rachel or Blaine has sung every single episode. That is craziness.
That is really crazy.
And this is the first time since season 2 that two episodes have gone by without Blaine having a solo.
Wow.
That's ridiculous.
That's really
that's holy so cow. Crazy. I truly cannot believe that that is true. Well, that's all the Glack. So, Lena, what's your choice?
I will do the recap.
Okay, good, because that would have been really anticlimactic otherwise. Death in an audio medium is not as exciting as it is on the silver screen.
Yeah, honestly.
You can't see at home, but Lena had a bear trap strapped to her neck this entire time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wow, thanks, Jigsaw. That was such good Glacks.
Excuse me, this is Billy the Puppet?
Jigsaw
is the man who is operating my mouth and tricycle.
Stop. Thanks, Billy.
Anytime, girl. Happy Pride.
Billy, ally.
Ally, or we don't know how Billy identifies.
I'm pansexual.
Oh!
Oh my God!
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Ja, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur einen Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Unsere Krankenhäuser sind immer für uns da, Tag und Nacht, in ganz Deutschland. Sie möchten mehr zur neuen Krankenhausreform wissen? Dann sind Sie hier richtig. Krankenhaus-mit-zukunft.de. Eine Information des Bundesministeriums für Gesundheit.
Okay, are you ready for a recap?
Born ready, baby.
Let's go to recap land. Get it? It's supposed to be to the tune of Moo Moo Land. What's the name of that fucking song?
Justified and Ancient.
Yeah, Justified and Ancient. Here's another one for everyone who didn't listen to the three songs that Sue suggests. It must have been recap, but it's over now. It must have been good, but I recapped it somehow. It must have been recap, but it's over now. All right.
You should have stuck with Justified and Ancient. Come on.
I know. I just don't know it that well. Sorry.
You
Sorry,
don't
Tammy.
Know it that well.
I know. How? Terrible. Okay. So I did write a little Billy the Puppet script. So I will be doing a terrible impression of your friend
of
mine.
Oh my gosh. Billy's coming back. Billy's coming back. Yeah. I can't wait.
But I mean, it's obviously not him. So don't freak out, everyone.
I'll be taking notes. Billy!
Billy, be nice. Come on. I'm such a fan. All right. Hello, Gleeks. I want to play a game. Before you, you have an episode of Recovering Gleek based on the episode Hurt Locker Part 2. But you don't know anything about it. You need a recap. Well, I'm generous. I'm going to give you one. But you have to listen to it or risk listening to an episode not remembering key moments of this amazing episode and die. That's what
yours.
Here's what you missed on Glee. Vocal adrenaline has already performed, Sue announced, and they killed it. Sue announces that we need 12 people and the competition is going to last 3 whole days. Rachel and Kurt take to recruiting Kitty Wild, but she doesn't want to do it, having been heartbroken by the old members of the club leaving. Sam is still hypnotized, but Rachel snaps him out of it after he suggests songs that are ass for the set list. I wrote this before I listened to the songs and realized the majesty of the songs, and I do apologize to Tammy Wynette.
You should stand by that jam. That song rocks.
Meanwhile, Sue, still hell-bent on getting Clayne back together, locks them in an elevator with a bathroom until they kiss, but they don't want to. The room is getting hotter and the times are growing dire. They miss the Warbler performance. Sam recruits Spencer to join, and Kitty, using her inside knowledge of Sue, tells Rachel about her secret playlist of songs that she is extremely emotionally attached to. So they grab 3 songs from that playlist and send Sue on an emotional roller coaster and win the Invitational. That's what you missed on Glee. The choice is yours. Oh my God! I really ate that.
Thank you, Billy. Mm-hmm. Should we do this entire episode as 2 Billys talking to each other?
I think we should. The thing is, I think we're both equally very good at it. Like,
I agree.
I think all Saw fans would see mm-hmm. our impressions and be like, who is that? What?
I think we're about to get a phone call. I think they're going to put us in Saw 9. What number are they on now?
I have no idea. They're like doing like spinoffs now. Like,
oh, Spiral. Yeah, they are.
Yeah. I think the thing that I like about those movies is they're made on like terrible budgets. They're made with like $20,000 in like one building. It's like a bunch of like prop masters like having a heyday, and it's very fun. Like, you can tell it's like summer camp in those movies. I like that.
Heck yeah.
Anyway, not a podcast about movies
is people mutilating themselves. That's what I'm into. I think it's silly and goofy and fun.
So fun.
I did, though. There was a period when I was in high school, because that's when I just remember, like, when Saw 6 came out. I just like heard about it everywhere.
Yeah.
And I was really curious as to, like, what the plot was, which is so funny, like, watching Saw for the plot.
Yeah, it's plot light.
But I was just like, what on earth could this movie possibly be about based on, like, what I hear people say about it and what I see on the posters? So there was a time that I read the synopses of each Saw movie on Wikipedia.
Oh, yeah.
But that was years ago.
Yeah. But
that's about all the exposure I have to Saw. And about all the exposure I ever need to have in my life. Anyways, Out of the Hurt Locker Part 2.
Oh, yeah. My God.
What takes this episode over the edge for you? What makes it better than The Hurt Locker Part 1?
I'll tell you. It's the New Directions performance for me. It is some of my favorite moments of Glee. A, I think all the songs are very good. I think they're cute. I think Father Figure is randomly one of my favorite songs they've done on Glee. It's really awesome. And I really love Roderick's voice. And just the three long songs all cut with three different montages of Sue's life. Like, what the fuck? It just is so funny to me. It makes me laugh so hard. And also, there's so many moments of this episode that, like, just make me really cackle. But the New Directions performance, I think about all the time. Like, all throughout this podcast, I think I've thought about that. There's this part right after it all finishes where Sue is sobbing, right? Yes. I think about that constantly. And then Caden and I, my roommate and I, we always cover our mouths like her and then like throw them down, throw our arms down on like, on.
When she goes,
it's just so funny. And also just like, Claim being stuck in the elevator is very funny to me. I love Becky freaking out about the dream sequence and how does she even have this on video. Like, I love, but especially the New Directions performance.
Heck yeah. I'm glad that you love the New Directions performance, because that's the, like, one bit of the episode. Not the performance in general, specifically the flashback of Sue auditioning for different Hollywood movies that I just feel like I've never understood. Every time I watch it, I'm like, what? Just like a weird reveal that Sue like had a past where she was the second choice for like all these iconic roles in Hollywood.
Yeah.
I just have always been confused about that choice.
Yeah, I get that. I don't know that I get that, but I do feel like when I watch these two episodes, my sense of reason goes out the window and I don't really care. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm like, whatever.
And the Jane Lynch reactions to hearing these songs, it's gold.
It's perfect.
I love specifically her reactions to It Must Have Been Love. Because by the time we get to All Out of Love, which is the final, like, she's sobbing, she's overcome. Must Have Been Love, the journey her face goes on,
she's like
of like sheer panic, but then also an overwhelming like catharsis, is so funny. There is the shot of her standing in the wings and she has like absolute fear in her eyes, but she is singing along to the song because she can't help it. That is comedy to me. It is hysterical.
So good. Oh my gosh.
She sells this joke with her face so well. It is hysterical. Mm-hmm. I love Jane Lynch.
Me too.
Okay. Well, This episode is confusing in that I don't think it breaks down as easily as the last episode did.
Yeah.
I think basically we talk about the Clayne Jigsaw stuff, or we talk about literally every other aspect of the episode.
Yeah.
So it's, what do we want to tackle first?
Probably the Jigsaw stuff then.
That's what I was thinking.
Oh my gosh, we're the same.
All right. Well, let's play a game. Let's talk about the Clayne Jigsaw stuff.
Wow.
Again, to reiterate my thoughts from last week, it is comedy gold to me that Sue, her number one priority in these episodes is reuniting Clayne.
Yeah. Like,
yes, she wants to destroy the Glee Club. Yes, she wants to get revenge on Will Schuster, but those are secondary only to Clayne being together, and there is no ulterior motive. There is no master plan that it's like a secretly gonna mess things up for the new directions. It is genuinely, she thinks they're made for each other and they're the most perfect couple on earth.
Yeah.
And she will hear no criticism from anyone about it, and they have to be together.
One of my favorite moments with all this is just the opening monologue that she has. She's like, unless one of your directors were to go missing and miss the performance, like the weird foreshadowing that she's doing. And then like Clayne talking, and then it zooming in on Sue in the background. It's just spooky and stupid, and I'm literally so obsessed. It just makes me scream.
I love the sequence of when she goes to the Hurt Locker with Becky and shows her the Clayne Shrine. The decision to have, while Sue represents like all the Clayne shippers on the internet, that Becky represents everyone that hates Clayne. And
she's like, they're not even looking at each other.
Seriously, she's like, it doesn't even seem like they like each other. Look at that clip. They're not even looking at each other. And Sue's like, you don't understand. It's if they looked at each other, the sexual tension would be so strong, they'd have to disappear and just hump, 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 hump.
Hump, 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 hump.
And then you already mentioned it, but the moment when she's showing Becky the supercut she has of Clayne moments, which I just love that it's like they got some video off of Tumblr of someone who was a Clayne shipper, and they're like, and this is Sue made this, Sue's obsessed with Clayne, and it has the moment from, God, what is that Moulin Rouge song? Come What May. It has the moment from them singing Come What May, and Becky goes, but isn't this like a dream sequence? How do you film that? That is so good.
And that's the thing about these episodes that I love so much, is like, it feels so good to watch this and like not think about logistics, or even like point out the logistics, how it doesn't work, and not give a shit. You know what I mean? It's just so fun.
And that's part of the comedy of these episodes, is how willing they are to just be like, nothing makes sense, so get over it. Like, something that I was thinking about when watching it is, during Must Have Been Love, we see Sue in the auditorium watching the New Directions. But then also at the same time, the Sue Jigsaw puppet is in the elevator speaking to Clayne, making them kiss. So it's like, who's operating the Jigsaw puppet? Is it Becky?
You know, I think I've figured it out. You know how I was Googling a lot of like, a Billy the Puppet voice generator AIs. I think she coded it. I think it's AI.
She coded it. And she just... Do you think it's Becky live on the mic? Or do you think that Sue just knew what was going to happen, so she had retyped it in?
I think Sue knew what was going to happen. I think she planned that whole thing out. Yeah.
Yeah. She's like, this is the final step. This is when they're going to kiss. This is how I'm going to respond.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yep, exactly. I do like to think that she was in two places at once, because she just has that kind of like gig. Like, she has that kind of power. Mm-hmm. But she coded it. She knew it was going to happen. I love when they run back in. Not to jump over them being in the elevator, but Sue gets so excited to see them. She goes, Kurt, Blaine! And she waves. Like, forgets all about her emotional turmoil she's going through with this song to like say hi to them. I love that.
That's wonderful. Okay, I'm going to say it right here, right now.
What?
An issue I ran into last week, which is I just love these episodes so much, and I think they're so funny that this podcast might just derail from me into me being like, and this line is funny, and this line is funny, and this line is funny. You know, it's like, I don't know if I
don't
have
think
any,
that's a problem.
But I just want to say it because I feel like some of our most entertaining episodes of the podcast are when we are like really getting into the weeds and being like, does this make sense? What's this all about? And really examining things. And something I love about these two episodes is there's not really anything to examine. They're just silly for silly's sake. Mm-hmm. But that does not, that's not very conducive to constructive criticism. It's not conducive to like digging into the themes and the character arcs.
Yeah.
So buckle up. This is a greatest hits podcast where we just talk about the stuff that we loved. And you know what I loved? When Sue was Walter and Kurt's waiter on their second date and she gave Kurt a pin that said I heart old people and Walter a pin that said Klain on it. And then her delivery of here is a children's menu for baby and the early bird menu for old timer.
I love that scene so much. First of all, Hot Cup of Walter is a nice guy. But my favorite part of this whole thing is when Walter goes, when you're as handsome as I am, very little bothers you. I heard that and it set my mind on fire. And I said, I'm going to make this my motto for the rest of time. Like, that is so funny. Like, when you're as handsome as I am, very little bothers you.
So,
so funny.
There's also the moment when Walter says to Sue, he's like, because she keeps, you know, harassing him for being an old man. And he says something along the lines of, well, how old are you? And she goes, 34. One, funny. But two, I appreciate the consistency because one of my favorite Sue lines of all time is in season one when she's writing in her journal and she says, and journal, here I am about to turn 30. And that was 5 years ago.
Oh my gosh.
So they stayed consistent with what her fake age is.
Nice. I like that.
Very good. Very good. So Sue does a Hail Mary pass. She decides to get Kurt and Blaine trapped in a room together. She does this by putting up fake elevator doors in McKinley with a sign that says elevator to the auditorium, which that's also something that is so stupid, but I love so much. The concept that Kurt and Blaine are like, oh, an elevator to a room that is on the ground floor of this building. Let's take it. Incredible.
Also, I love the idea that I like the idea that other people have tried to enter this elevator and they've had to get like punched out. They're like, get the fuck out. Like, it's not for you. Like, how are they ending up there together at the same time and the first ones to be in there? What happened? Like, what elaborate plan?
I think you're right. I think she had Becky stand guard and was just fighting people off until she saw Klain come around the corner. So they get in this elevator. Sue locks the doors. She releases her jigsaw puppet in there who tells them that they have to kiss. She says, I literally lost the jigsaw voice.
Oh, no.
I don't remember what it sounds like. Let's play a game. Was it this?
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember. She says, let's play a game.
Yeah,
you have to kiss. Or something along the lines of, or you will eat each other and suffocate. Because she's going to keep them locked in and slowly raise the temperature until they are forced to go into cannibalism. In the meantime, she gives them a romantic dinner from two from breadsticks. She releases tadalafil in aerosol form into the air to get their sex drives up.
I love when they open up the picnic basket and they think it's going to like be something. So they like cower back.
And it's just grapes. The fact that Sue just earnestly wants these two together is one of my favorite choices.
She doesn't want them to die.
With this character.
Me too.
And this is stupid circumstances. Obviously, it's so stupid. It's so silly. But I genuinely think that although they are trapped in a fake elevator with a bathroom by a Sue jigsaw puppet. The actual interactions between Kurt and Blaine in this elevator are very sweet and genuine and make me, you know, it makes me like see why they work together as a couple. And it like makes me a little sad that they're not still together. Like it is genuine emotion and character interaction in very stupid circumstances, which I appreciate.
Yeah.
We have a lot of fun. We start with a lot of fun, like old couple bantering. Mm-hmm. Where Blaine is over explaining how they're going to try and get out. And Kurt is like, I know what go on three means.
Yeah.
And
literally.
Then we have Blaine nagging Kurt because Kurt's phone died. And Blaine's like, I tell you, you can't charge it every night. It kills the battery. Also, Kurt is on his phone and he says he's at 4%. And then 1 second later says, and it died.
Well, yeah, that's, he charges it every night. He really killed the battery.
Yeah, he really did. That's shocking. You got to look at
that. I know people who have phones like that.
And then we go into, they've been in there so long, their defenses are starting to get down, and they're just like chatting, and they're playing that, I don't know what the name of this game is, you know, like put a word on your forehead.
Oh,
like heads up, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's essentially like heads that. Up. Like put a word on your forehead, the other person has to get you to guess the word together. Mm-hmm. And we see like they're referring to a lot of inside jokes that they have together, a lot of past experiences together. It's very cute. It's very nice.
Yeah. And then Blaine has to ruin it by being so weird about Karofsky and ice cream.
Which, why? The word is ice cream. Why would that be his first instinct to be like, oh, Dave loves this? Beyond the fact that obviously it's like read a room, don't bring up your ex-boyfriend. I mean, don't bring up your current boyfriend to your ex right now. It's also like, why would that make Kurt think of ice cream? Kurt doesn't know that.
Yeah, Kurt doesn't know it.
And it's Dave not eats. Just, it's not just that like Blaine says offhandedly like, oh, Dave eats this all the time. It's cream, it's dairy, it's cold. No, he like literally just keeps talking about how Karofsky eats ice cream all the time.
He's like, oh, he just eats too much of it, like every single night. Oh my God. Like, shut like, the why fuck up.
Why would I know that? You're terrible literally. At this game. That's not helpful. Terrible. Can you imagine if we were playing heads up and you put something on your forehead and I was like, oh my gosh, my coworker Tyler loves this thing. And you'd be like,
and I'm like, who the fuck is Tyler?
So you'd be like, that doesn't help me at all. What?
Yeah, this sequence, these are all so silly and fun. The montage of them like walking back and forth and like trying to like bide their time, them watching each other sleep. Stop. So good.
And the Sue jigsaw puppet on a tricycle in a Sue Sylvester tracksuit.
So dumb. Is I love
an
it.
An all time glee bit for me.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, who made that? I sincerely want to purchase it so bad.
I wonder who did buy it.
I want it from them. Give it to me. The choice is yours. Because I want it.
Sue puppet gifts and merchandise for sale. No, they're all like, here's a picture of the puppet you can buy.
No, I want
purchase
the one.
Purchase Sue Sylvester jigsaw puppet.
I want it.
I just want to know like who bought it. Because I'm sure they sold it when
like at auction or something.
Yeah, when the show ended and they like sold all their stuff. I can't find it. This is a crime. I probably wouldn't buy it because realistically it was probably like $1,000.
Yeah, it's probably more than that. They probably worked very hard on it.
If I could find it for a sensible $100, I'd maybe consider
if someone wanted to crochet this, I would
crochet a Sue jigsaw puppet.
I want that so bad. I'll commission it. Any crocheters out there?
The Sue jigsaw puppet is so funny. There's so many moments. One, when she tells them that they have to kiss to get out, and they're like, okay, and they do a peck on the cheek, and the puppet shakes its head. Like, goes,
no,
not like that. Incredible. Also, my favorite moment with the puppet is when they do kiss for real and they like go at it. We see the POV from behind the puppet watching them kiss. And we just see the little puppet arms go up in the air in celebration.
It's like, yes!
Something about the framing of that is so funny. It is more funny than if we got a full shot of the puppet with the arms in the air. Just the fact that we're watching Clayne and then just see the arms come up like out of focus on either side of the frame. That's the funniest thing I've ever seen.
It's really good.
It's so good. It's so good. Also, Chris Colfer and Darren Criss's acting in that scene is very good. They break apart for that kiss, and I'm like, shoot.
I'm like, oh no.
I'm in love with both of you now.
I know. I felt the same.
My goodness.
What a nightmare, though.
I mean, what a dream. Fall in love with someone in an elevator, romantic dinner. Come on.
Hey, I guess you're right.
Kurt's dating Walter. It's not like he's ending a great relationship, you know? Walter seems like a very nice man. I can't get behind it.
How old is Kurt? Like 19? Maybe 20?
Yeah. That's the thing I was thinking about today. That I was like, I don't think that age differences, like large age differences in relationships, are inherently bad.
No.
But when one of you is that young, it's suspicious.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
If that was the age difference and Kurt was like 27, then I'd be like, yeah, do you like love who you love? Kurt is fully like, I don't think he can legally drink yet. It's suspicious to me.
Yeah.
It feels weird and I don't like it. Yeah. It's just like the power dynamics in that situation are a little wonked out.
They are pretty wonked out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not to get into my thoughts on like big age gaps like that. I just think like I just don't trust the older person in that situation. Like, I mean, I feel like the young that's so crazy. Like if you're a young person dating a much older person, it feels exciting and like, oh my gosh, I'm so mature and like, you know, this person has their life together. It feels so good to like be with someone who knows what's going on. But it's also like, what's happening with them that they want to date a 19-year-old? Like, you know, that's kind of suspicious to me.
Yeah. I just feel like the gap between like 19 and 25 is the Grand Canyon.
Oh my God, it's huge.
And so like, sure, age can be just a number at a certain point.
Yeah.
But like developmentally in your life, you are so much younger at 19 than you are in your mid 20s that it gives me pause.
Yeah.
When someone that old is specifically like this 19-year-old.
Yeah. So Walter, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
Leave that child alone.
Sue was right. Here's a children's menu for baby and an early bird menu for old timer.
He's a nice enough guy. And I'm glad that like, you know, I feel like the dates that they're going on are like, you know, chill enough. And I'm glad that like Kurt's having a nice time. He deserves a nice time. But Walter, back up.
Yeah. Give it 5 years. Give it a minute.
Absolutely. Let's not groom him, but give it 5 years.
Oh, yeah, that's true. By give it 5 years, I meant like go live your life.
I meant get the fuck out of here.
Exactly. Come back in 5 years, not continue to string him along for 5 years, because that's also a problem. Anyways, this locked in an elevator. As I was saying, it's not like I'm not rooting for Kurt and Walter. Am I rooting for Clayne to get back together? Also, like, not really. But this is the romantic fantasy, you know? Enemies to lovers, enemies. More like platonic friends to lovers. Stuck in a situation, there's no way out, and then suddenly it all comes to light and you end up making out in front of a little puppet. And then the elevator doors open and everything is different.
Yeah.
That's the fantasy.
Oh, but everything is different. But also, it totally is the fantasy. Like, the lovers to exes, like, oh, but it maybe it could. Like, if we stumbled into each other, maybe. Oh, my gosh. I really, this whole thing is so funny. But also, like, I love this way to get Clayne back together. Because they're doing well, you know? Obviously, we're not rooting for Kurt and Walter. But, like, they are over each other. Both of them have said, like, they don't want to get back together. They're better as friends. This is fine. And then it just literally, like, someone being like, that's not, nope, you're not fine. And then convincing them they're not fine. I think it's the funniest way to get them back together. And a way that, like, makes sense narratively, because they've said they don't want to get back together. Yeah. That, like, it took a huge outlying force to force them back together. And now everything is different. And I just think that's perfect.
And I think we mentioned this last week. This is a shortened season. It's only 13 episodes. These writers know that Clayne has to end the show together. They know that literally there will be a riot. People will hunt them down in their homes if Clayne does not get back together. And so it's kind of like, in the same way that they really wanted to break Clayne up in season 4, but they wanted to expedite the process. So they're like, I don't know, Blaine cheats on Kurt. That's a way to break him up quickly, which I still think is ridiculous. They needed to expedite the process of getting them back together. So they couldn't beat around the bush. They thought, we got to lock him in a room together for a whole episode. Yeah. And yes, they didn't get back together in this episode, but there were about like four episodes worth of pining. Yeah. That happened in this one episode by locking them in the elevator.
I love pining.
And as Sue said to Becky, when Becky said the plan failed, they didn't get back together. The plan did not fail. We have them just where we want them. And we have 6 more weeks of scheming ahead of us, possibly 7, depending on network. What is the word?
I don't remember.
I want to say pre-exemptions, but that doesn't make any sense. Depending on network blanks.
Yeah.
So we start this episode right where we ended last episode, literally.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
The direct moment after we ended last episode with vocal adrenaline finishing performing Whip It by Devo. And then Sue comes up to announce that this was actually only day one of the invitationals. It is going to be a 3-day competition. Super Gay Warbler says, wait, this is a 3-day competition? And other Really Gay Warbler says, where will we sleep? And Sue goes, well, I imagine you two will sleep inside one another.
And they go,
that's also really an all-time agree quote. And Sue lays down the rules for this invitational, which Will complains that you can't change the rules after one group has already performed. And she says, my school, my rules. What is rule one?
Rule one is the theme is... rule one is we have to have 12 members. And rule two is the theme is throwback.
Yeah. And then the next rule is that there are no rules.
Yeah.
Yeah. They have to have 12 members, which, to quote Sue, is the only show choir rule anyone remembers and yet every year is surprised by. But also...
they don't follow it.
Yeah, they don't follow it. And I would understand if when Sue crowns the New Directions, she says something along the lines of like, the New Directions won, even though they didn't have enough members. But it's never addressed again.
She just went through a whole emotional thing. I don't know that she's even remembering the rules.
No, I get it. But I just, it's like one of the few faults of writing in this episode that I wish they would have just lampshaded it. Because they do have Sue say, when she gives the New Directions first prize, she says, I don't know how they did it because they were literally sitting on stools and singing in unison.
Oh, sure.
And that's comedy to me, to call out the fact that, like, you know, the Warblers were doing front flips. and the New Directions were literally a stool choir and we're still going to give it to the New Directions. I just wish she had mentioned something of, and they don't even have enough members, but it's never mentioned again in this episode.
Yeah.
But, oh well, can't win them all.
Yeah.
So, Rachel goes on a quest to find some new members for the New Directions. Namely, your friend and mine, Kitty Wilde, and not your friend nor mine, Spencer, last name. Postmodern gay.
Postmodern gay. I love Kitty. I love the journey that Kitty goes on here, where Kitty's like, literally, screw you guys. I do not want to join your club. You are stinky and weird. See you later. To her being like, I am not going to do that again. Like, it was like terrible to have them all leave and to be that emotionally vulnerable and then be alone. And I can't open myself up like that again. I love that. I think like, I totally get that. And I think I'm glad that Kitty is back on this show to bully our friends.
Yeah, I'm excited. Ecstatic that Kitty is back on the show. I have not been shy about the fact that she's my favorite newbie from season 4. Wonderful to have her back. And I genuinely really like her dynamic with Rachel.
Mm.
I like that she is not going to take any crap from Rachel. She like calls Rachel out on being selfish multiple times this episode. But then at the end of the day, has a respect for Rachel and a respect for Rachel's talent. I just think that's an interesting power dynamic that they kind of, instead of it being traditional, like teacher student, like it is with the rest of the kids, that Kitty and Rachel are kind of equal peers in this situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That Rachel's going to coach the club and then Kitty's going to, from the inside of the club, keep the other kids in line and keep them motivated so that they can push forward and win.
Yeah.
Also, Faberry watch in this episode.
Huge Faberry watch. Kitty saying that the world is rooting for her and Quinn. Oh my God.
Dang. Quinn Faberry may be gone, but never gone from our hearts. Still getting a shout out not in forgotten. This episode.
Absolutely.
Gone but not forgotten. Shoot, shoot, shoot. I agree. I like the Kitty stuff. I love that she comes off as, you know, she's making fun of the Glee Club and Rachel and she doesn't want to come back and yada, yada, yada. But then underneath it all, it is that it was just so painful to lose all of her friends and she doesn't want to go through it again. And then she sees the Warblers performing and realizes how much she misses it and she comes back. That's all great.
Yeah.
I don't like the Spencer stuff.
Ugh. I know. I agree.
Specifically, when Spencer was first introduced, I talked a big game about how, while I'm not like a huge fan of the performance of the character, I thought the idea of the character was really fun, which is this kid who genuinely just doesn't care about Glee Club. And like everyone around him is like, how could you not care? The New Directions are like, this is the most important thing ever. You secretly love it. You secretly want to join. And Sue was like, this is the worst thing ever. You secretly hate it. You secretly want to destroy it. And Spencer's like, no, literally,
like beyond
I can't
it.
Be
yeah.
bothered. I don't care.
Yeah.
And then in this episode, they go back on it. And it's like, no, just kidding. Spencer actually secretly has loved Glee Club the whole time and wanted to join and like sings to himself when he's alone. And purposely walks by the choir room extra. He's just afraid to join because he doesn't want to be bullied. And
it's interesting because I think half of his character, at least in the beginning, was like the postmodern part, like post homophobia. Like it didn't matter. Like he didn't want to. He it wasn't because he was going to get bullied. He wasn't going to be bullied because people were going to think he was gay. He was gay and it was fine. And he just didn't care. Like that was the postmodern part. And now that part is gone.
Yeah. I don't hate that bit as much.
Sure.
We get the revelation that Spencer won't join the Glee Club, because in his own words, since he is the gay guy on the football team, he has to be the most macho of all of the guys, because sure. if they sniff even a little bit of gay on him, then he's no longer going to be Spencer. He's going to be the gay kid.
Yeah.
And I think that is an interesting thing to delve into, where it's like, yeah, Spencer is like out and proud gay at McKinley on the football team, and no one gives him shit about it, unlike back in the day. And like, isn't that cool and postmodern? But underneath it all, the reality is, no, there's still homophobia. It's just that Spencer is forced to be the alpha male at all times to like keep everybody in line and keep them respecting him. So I actually think that, for me, gives an interesting depth to his character. But I'm just like, but does he have to secretly want to be in Glee? Like, I thought it was fun that he truly didn't care about it.
Yeah, that was the part that I enjoyed, is that he just didn't care. Like, it didn't have to be X, Y, or Z. He could just be himself, and his himself didn't care about Glee.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, not all gay dudes are the same. Some of them genuinely think that, like, musical theater stuff is lame.
Yeah.
But this episode's like, no, they all secretly love it. And if they don't like it, it's because they're lying to themselves and trying to be macho.
Yeah. There's a line he says when they're all celebrating about pulling an all-nighter.
I wrote it down.
Oh, my God. I literally, I was
and
like,
we can order pizza and root beer and have like a party.
Like, he is so, the joke just over it.
Just, I wish this actor all the best.
Absolutely. I hope he's well.
I don't know. I just don't know.
I don't know.
I don't get it. I don't know. You know what it is? It's pretty privilege is what it is. Frankly, it's pretty privilege.
We've seen it on this show before.
We have.
We're currently seeing it. It's pretty privileged. Absolutely. Yeah. It's a very, very attractive person. Fits the bill they're looking for, I'm sure. Can't act a lick.
Yeah. That whole sequence is really awkward.
Some pizza and root beer and like have a party.
Kitty rejoins in the same scene. And like Becca Tobin is being in character and like being fun and really selling it. And it's all exciting. And then Spencer just walks in and it's like, we can order pizza and root beer and have like a party. And then everyone cheers and hugs him. And it's so awkward and weird and really takes the wind out of the scene.
Yeah. Like, does Jane even know this guy? She's new in town.
Everyone is like, you're joining? I'm like,
oh my God.
Know him? Roderick and Jane canonically just started attending this school like three weeks ago. You know who this dude is?
Also, he's not shy about being a dickhole. Like, he's mean.
Whatever. We knew he was going to join the club at some point, so they just had to do it. It's not the strongest way they could have done it, but
totally.
They had to get it over with, I guess.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. We can like order some pizza and root beer and have like a party. Like, what the frick? Yeah. I mean, I like the scene at least with Sam and Spencer.
Yeah.
Where Sam is the one.
That's the scene I like.
Mm-hmm. Like, Sam's the one to reach out to him and be like, hey, I'm literally I like the ultimatum where it's like, if you want to be the quarterback, you gotta not be a coward, you weirdo. Like, I like that scene.
Well, I would be fine with that if, you know, Sam was like, postmodern gay, do you want to play a game? And he said, you have to join the Glee Club or not be quarterback. And it would kind of call back to Mr. Shu doing the same unethical thing and blackmailing a student into joining the Glee Club.
Yeah.
And if it was Spencer just like really did not want to join the Glee Club, but he really wanted to be quarterback. So he joined to be quarterback. And then he learned to like it by being in the club. I could get on board for that.
Yeah.
But having it be, no, Spencer secretly has been yearning to be a part of this club for weeks and has just been too scared to admit it. We have done this plotline a million times. It's not a bad plotline, but we've seen it so many times.
Mm-hmm.
And it was cool to have a character that truly was apathetic about the situation. And yeah. It's just a bummer that we lost that.
Yeah. That's something that's like so not on this show very much is someone who just doesn't care. You know, like it happens like every once in a while, but I like to see someone be like, whatever. It was fun. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, well, he's in the club.
But I do
now,
like that
so.
Sam's the one who gives the speech. I think like Sam, especially talking about Finn in that way where he was like, you know, Finn was the quarterback and like the like HBIC here. And like that all
he
changed.
Was. I've always been like, Finn was the head bitch at McKinley.
Absolutely. But he joined Glee Club and that like, you know, that changed everything for him.
Yeah. Because even you could have the same scene and be like, I need you to show leadership skills outside of just the football team. I need you to show that you, you know, that you can lead the whole school and then tell him I want you to join the Glee Club without it being like, and I see you pretending to read a book outside the choir room doors. Of course, I'm a rock star.
Yeah. I'm a rock star. And I mean, I get that he is a rock star. I get that he, like, you know, recognizes that he would have fun there if he, like, oh, if he wanted to. Like, but he does, like, I like the idea that he doesn't. Like, he likes to sing. He's a good singer. He's a rock star. But he just doesn't give a shit. I don't know. It's a thought.
Oh, well. He's joined now.
My advice for entrepreneurs is definitely to level up with Shopify. The platform is just never a worry. Like, I have so many worries, but the platform is never one. I feel like Shopify really thinks about how they can optimize. It just always feels very ahead of the curve. Everything is just super easy to connect and link. They really know what we need. Time and money that is saved, I can spend on other things and on growth.
Start your free trial at shopify.com.
Going back to Kitty, Kitty has her come to Jesus moment because she sees the Warblers perform. And when I said going back to Kitty, I really just wanted to make that segue so that we could actually talk about the Warblers.
Yeah.
So the Warblers are the second group to perform at this Invitational. It starts out with Sue's about to announce the Warblers, but Skylar goes up to tell her that they don't know where Blaine is. And Sue announces that she has just been informed by the head warbler, whose name is Tristan or Christian or Montague or something annoyingly fey, that their coach is missing. Well, Blaine, we're you're in our hearts. We hope you are well. Tristan, Christian, Montague, or something annoyingly
something
fey
annoyingly fey
is
so stupid.
So so then the Warblers perform their set list, which is approximately 30 seconds of My Sharona. Really just one chorus of My Sharona.
Which that sucks because that song really rocks.
And then You Spin Me Round. My Sharona and I have a complicated relationship, which is the beat, immaculate. The vibes of that song, incredible. The lyrics of that song, straight to jail. You ever listen to the lyrics of that song? Duh. It is, I'm not kidding. This is what it was written about. The singer of that band was in love with a teenage girl who was underage and wrote the song about her. And the lyrics of the da 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 da, which is like so fun to listen to. It's such a dirty mind, I always get it up for the touch of the younger kind.
Shut the fuck up.
Ever since I listened to the lyrics of that song, it has been sullied.
I really don't like
my woo.
I just don't get that.
Yeah, sucks.
I hate that.
So, what's that band name? The Knack? Straight to jail for that one.
Straight to jail.
On a non-lyric note, because that's something that, like, I feel like no one knows. Because I literally, the only reason I know that is, sorry, cop car just passed.
Hello?
is I was listening to Pump Up the Jam, that podcast, and they did an episode on My Sharona, and they talked about all of that in the episode. I had no idea before I listened to that episode. Because this song is like, the music part of it is very catchy. Like, yeah, it is a bop bop jam. So on a non-lyric note, it is shocking to me that it took them 6 seasons to have the Warblers do this song. Because mm-hmm. I just feel like on paper, it is like the most Warbler song I've ever heard.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, the orchestrations lend themselves to vocalizing. It is a very, not that this is an a cappella rendition because there are fully instruments in the background, but it's a very like male a cappella vibe.
Yeah.
It lends itself to the type of choreography that the Warblers do. So I'm surprised it took them this long to do it.
Yeah.
And they really barely even do it. Why is it so incredibly short?
Yeah.
It's really open and shut. They say, moving on.
They said, we've got to do You Spin Me Right Round.
They said, we got to pay homage to the 2012 seminal classic Pitch Perfect.
They really do a great job, too, which is interesting. It kind of comes full circle like that, you know? They're doing a Pitch Perfect song. Did the Glee thing.
I do think the Troublemakers outsung them. There's just a little more punch in the Pitch Perfect version than there is in the Glee version. Sorry.
Yeah. Sure.
But I think between these two numbers, it really encapsulates the Warblers. Like, these are just like the most Warblers reduced down to what makes them unique as a singing group. These are the perfect songs.
Yeah.
This is the perfect choreography. The perfect vocalization.
They're really killing it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like quintessential Warblers. They also do the nay nay a bunch in this.
Oh my God.
Literally. It's 2015.
I was thinking like maybe 2 days ago, I was like, what was I watching the other day with like a ton of the nay nay in it? And I couldn't remember. And then I rewatched it and I said, got it. The nay nay.
Skylar Warbler loves a nay nay. Christian Montague or something annoyingly Faye loves the nay-nay.
Honestly, they do it for a long time.
Yeah, and they do it twice. They do it. They say, watch me nay-nay. And then they do another move. And then they say, just kidding. And the nay-nay's back, baby.
So silly. But, it, you know, successfully scares the shit out of the New Directions again because they kill it. They do a really great job.
Yeah. Yeah. Shout out Warblers.
Shout out Warbler Nation Rise.
Warbler Nation
Rise.
Kind of
weird choice to do My Sharona. Maybe that's why they did it for 30 seconds because they were like, this song's kind of gross.
They were like, maybe let's have no one think about the lyrics of this song. We're just going to.
Yeah. Meh. It's going to touch on it and they leave. Yeah. Gross. Awful.
I know. It's really. Doug Feiger was 25 years old when he met 17-year-old Sharona Alperin, who inspired a two-month-long run of songwriting. Sounds a lot like Hot Cup of Walter, if you ask me.
Honestly, it's just like that age gap if from a like 25-year-old to a 17-year-old.
It's huge.
It's not only illegal, it's huge.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, or I'll say that backwards. It's not only huge, it's fucking illegal. And it was back then.
Yeah. Okay. So, goodbye, Warblers.
Bye.
Hello, love. We get the return of Sue's hypnosis with Sam, and she tells him to get Rachel to sing these three songs that, in her words, are... will make the worst show choir set list of all time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Here is why I love Ian Brennan so much as a comedy writer. He could have easily, you know, like done like a Nickelback song or done a song that was like
or said
popular,
Run Joey Run. Yeah.
Yeah. That was like popular and trendy to dunk on and would be like an audience pleaser. And everyone would be like, oh, ha, ha, ha. Instead, he picked the three most obscure songs possible. Yeah. He said, this is a scavenger hunt. This joke.
He said, Google this now.
Side quest for this episode. And that's one of my favorite things. Obviously, if they do it too much, it just becomes annoying that you're like, get off your high horse. I don't know what any of this means. But I love when a writer in a sitcom will drop a few jokes that it's like, this is for a very niche audience. And to really get this joke, you're going to have to put in some research. Because then it's like a double laugh where, oh, the things Sue is saying about these songs are funny on paper. And then you listen to the song and then you get like a laugh later when you listen to the song and get the full context.
Absolutely.
These three songs, frankly, one of them is a banger. He's wrong. The other two songs are truly dreadful. Truly, truly dreadful.
I also feel like, you know, if you haven't heard the songs, obviously, like a lot of us have not heard the songs. There's enough context in there that like I kind of get the vibe of
the
song.
Yeah, you get the joke.
Exactly. Like Corey Feldman, why is he writing music? This song, like about child abuse. This song, why is Tammy Wynette on this song? You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I like it. I think it's good.
Yeah, he does a very good job of writing a joke that's funny regardless and then is funnier if you have the background information.
Absolutely.
I just think he's so talented.
He's a smart guy.
Ascension Millennium, which is the first song, which is the Corey Feldman song, where Sue says, I don't know why Corey Feldman is writing songs. I don't know why he wrote this particular song. All I know is that the first time I heard the song, I literally could not move. One, that's my favorite joke of the entire bit. That's hysterical. Yeah. And two, if you go on the music video for this song, one of the top comments said, when I listened to the song, I literally could not move. And that makes me cackle.
Oh, that's so good.
I love a Glee reference in the wild. Then we got Dear Mr. Jesus, quote, a song about the horrors of child abuse that actually makes you want to go out and locate a child for the express purpose of beating him up. This song charted. It was a top 40 song in the
80s. It makes my stomach hurt.
No, it's really dreadful.
Yeah.
It's not a good time.
No.
And then Justified and Ancient by the KLF and Tammy Wynette, which Ian Brennan refers to as, through Sue Sylvester, hands down the worst song ever written. And that's where he loses me. Because do the lyrics make any sense? No.
Yeah.
Does the fact that Tammy Wynette, a country star, guesting on this 90s hip-hop song make any sense? No. Is the music video absolutely ridiculous? Absolutely. Yeah. But is the song a banger? Yeah. Oh, bound for Moo Moo Land. It's great. I'm bound for Moo Moo Land. I want to go.
Stand by your jam.
Stand by your jam. It's Justified and it's Ancient and it drives an ice cream van. That lyric is poetry. Incredible.
Yeah, absolutely.
But a large part of the music video takes place on what I can only describe as the Mad Max planet. They're like in desert sand dunes. Everyone's kind of wearing like post-apocalyptic gear. There's people in red robes with rhinoceros horns coming out of their foreheads for some reason.
Yeah, very Mad Max.
Yeah, they're on top of like a very Mad Max like metal barricade. And then Tammy Wynette is on top in like a gold crown and a blue flowy dress, waving her arm back and forth singing. And it is so weird. And then
that's
the other
so
half
fun.
Of the video is the KLF in their like 90s hip hop clothes playing their instruments with an image of Tammy Wynette. It honestly looks like just in her house in like her Southern Tennessee outfit superimposed on top of them playing their instruments. It's
I'm
fantastic.
Obsessed.
This song rocks. If the New Directions had performed this, they still would have won.
Yeah.
Because it would have been incredible.
Yeah, absolutely. That's on your playlist of songs that emotionally put you through the ringer.
Yeah, that makes me too emotionally vulnerable. I can't listen to Justified and Ancient. I will cry in the club.
You better not play it. Don't.
Justified and they're ancient. They called me up in Tennessee. They said, Tammy, stand by the jams.
Do you have any songs like that that make you too emotionally vulnerable?
I did have... The thing is, it wears off. Oh. I just, like, don't... Me and feeling emotions are not friends. My body never learned how to do that. Mm. There was a long time where... What is that song called? If this is my last night with you by Adele. Hold me like I'm more than just a friend. All I Ask. That's what that song is called. All I Ask by Adele. There was a long period, probably like 4 or 5 months, where every time I listened to that song, I would sob hysterically. And now I listen to it and it's a beautiful song, but I'm like, huh. Mm. Do you have an emotionally vulnerable list?
Yeah, well, I mean, I have one song that I like. I think I've talked to you about this song before. I'll share it because I really am so weird about it. I like keep it under lock and key. I don't tell a lot of people about it. But the song La Vie en Rose by Louis Armstrong.
Ooh, yeah.
It like makes me sob every time. So I think I listen to it like maybe once every like 3 years because it just like is very special to me. I don't know why. It's just like, I just really love that song. And every time, I just think like, it's a perfect song. And every time I hear it, I sob.
See, I have like, if I'm already feeling some type of way, there are key songs that will like devastate me. Mm-hmm. But if I'm just walking the street on a normal day and you play one of those songs, it's not going to affect me. Mm-hmm. Because I have plenty of songs that like I have listened to and just like, it'll be like I'm feeling a little blue or a little emotionally vulnerable and then listening to the song just like rips it open.
Totally.
But then there will be times when I feel like I have to process something. There's like something I need to process. So I try and like listen to one of those songs to get it going and it doesn't do anything.
I totally get that. I hear that. Huh? Should we talk about the New Directions set list?
Yes. So Kitty helps Rachel hack into Sue's computer because she knows that Sue has a list of songs that she keeps under lock and key because they make her too emotionally vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And they're going to sing those songs to win the Invitational.
Yeah.
And those songs are It Must Have Been Love by Roxette.
Yeah.
Father Figure by George Michael. And All Out of Love by Air Supply.
You're making me sound like Air Supply.
You're making me sound like Air Supply. I already mentioned this. The journey that Sue goes on of sheer panic at the first chords of It Must Have Been Love to full sob at the end of All Out of Love is beautiful.
Yeah. I also think that the way that this is all set up, where you see that she is kind of scared, but mostly this song is to set up the Klain kiss. Mm-hmm. Like that's really what this song is for, and then the next one showing her like being disappointed every time her Republican candidate didn't get elected as president, and then the next one being her like getting close to being the lead of a big movie and then not getting it. I think like this is all so fucking funny to me. Along with these songs are all very beautiful and they all really do a great job, even though it's a lot of like, you know, it's still choir-y stuff, but I love it. I think like, that's something that I love about the New Directions in general is like connecting with an emotional place. And this one is like obviously turning that up to 100, showing us Sue fucking flopping into her chair and sobbing. Like, I don't know. It's just really awesome to me. I love this part so much. It's some of my favorite moments in Glee. I like watched it at the edge of my seat, smiling, like kicking my feet around. I really love this bit so much. It's some of my favorite moments in all of Glee.
They also do great solo distribution.
Yes.
One way to get me to love a Glee number is solo distribution. If I feel like everyone's getting their time to shine, which I will say, Jane doesn't.
And that is sad.
She's got like some fun riffs at the end of All Out of Love, and that's it. And that pisses me off for real.
Absolutely.
But beyond that, everyone else gets a beautiful not even like a vocal moment, like a beautiful half of a song at least.
Yeah.
And that is great to see and great to hear. Mm-hmm. And I wish Absolutely. That he would have done it with Jane and just, I don't know, have one of the songs be a trio. I was going to say have father figure be a duet. And then I was like, that's a lie.
I like that it's Roderick.
I have to have only Noah Galvin on that song and no one else.
Yeah. But I think All Out
did
of Love
I just
or...
mix up my Noahs? I did. Noah Guthrie. Noah Galvin is Ben Platt's fiance.
One of the Evan Hansens.
The kid
he was
the
on a TV
O'Neils.
Show. Yes.
The Real O'Neils. I loved
Oh
the
my
O'Neils.
God. I loved The Real O'Neils so much. Absolutely. Homophobia.
Genuinely homophobia. That's why that show got canceled.
Like, it easily could have been the first song.
Mm-hmm. That would be a trio.
Absolutely. Easily. Because, like, also, not to be a total bitch about this guy, but what is he adding to this song? Dare I say nothing? He's giving us nothing.
Yeah.
You know? And I would have rather it been, like, a trio or Kitty and Jane. Like, I just don't know what... I understand adding Spencer in because he is
story-wise,
the newest member of the club. I understand that. But I don't like it.
Yeah. Also, the choice to have the incest twins sing All Out of Love together.
It's sick.
Yo.
It's so funny.
Man, that was a decision.
Also, second Game of Thrones reference of the evening.
Of the evening?
Well, I mean, it's in the Hurt Locker Part 1 as well. Yeah.
Yes.
So if you watch them as a double feature, as they're meant to be, I know.
That was January 23rd.
You're right.
January 30th. Everything's different.
I know, you're right. January 23rd.
No. So.
Yes.
New Directions win. Warbirds get last. Vocal Adrenaline gets second.
What's your favorite number of this three?
Of these three? I mean, that might just ruin my best.
Okay,
number,
fine. We can keep going. They win.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine.
I don't know what my best number is. Genuinely.
That's okay.
I mean, is your best number one of the Warbler songs?
No.
Spin Me Round is good. And honestly, My good. Sharona is good. It's just the ethical ramifications of the song that I took issue with. But the Warbler numbers are fun.
One of my favorite parts about the Warbler numbers is watching Sue in the background. Because she's going like this. She's just spinning around. And it to me, I was like, it's so funny that she is doing this. Like, obviously she has her ulterior motives, but she's also kind of enjoying this choir competition, which what a weird, like journey for this character to go on, where she is willingly, like, throwing a 3-day-long competition under the guise of, like, torturing these people and trying to get them back together, but also, like, kind of having fun.
It's so weird. This
it
show
is so weird.
So weird.
The New Directions win.
Yes.
Even though they sat on stools, they won. And then Kurt and Blaine go to Sue, and they're like, "What? You fully kidnapped us. What the heck? You could go to jail for many years." She's like, "I think Becky did it. I literally don't know what you're
talking
about." My first
thought, Becky did it.
My first thought, Becky did it. But also still not backing down that they belong together. Like, well, you guys belong together. What are you talking about? It's so funny.
And then Rachel and Kurt present the New Directions with their trophy from Invitationals. And we have my favorite McCarthy Twins moment in the entire series, which is there's not a lot of competition because they're barely in the show, despite how much I love them, which is Rachel congratulates everyone for winning. And then she says, "You know, when I came back here, I was certain that I couldn't set foot on stage without it bursting into flames," and starts, you know, going off on some monologue. And Mason turns to Madison and goes, "I hear she tends to make everything about herself." And Madison goes, "Shh, if you're going to say stuff like that to me, you need to use your psychic inside voice." And then Mason looks at her and she goes, "Got it.
Got it." So funny. I love these two. They're some of my faves.
And that's The Hurt Locker.
Wow.
Parts
Both
one
ones. Whoa.
One question I have is, Will confronts Rachel briefly about the mail incident, where he's like, you didn't have to play all those dirty tricks like Sam coming and stealing my mail. And then Rachel goes, what are you talking about? I never did that. And they take a moment to think and go, Sue. But you didn't see Sue stealing your mail, or like you didn't see the mail missing with a note that said like Sam, haha, this is from Rachel.
Said,
you genuinely saw Sam stealing your mail. And there is no question as to, wait, is Sam working with Sue? How did Sue Sam to do that? Like, Will
they just
is
know
just
he's
so,
that susceptible to suggestion.
Yeah, he's just so willing to accept, jump to the conclusion of, oh, well, Sue obviously probably hypnotized Sam into doing it. Like,
there well, is she not did.
A moment hesitation of wondering, wait, but then why did Sam do it if Sue was behind it? They really just so move funny. On.
Literally. Oh my gosh.
Doom, doom, doom.
Best part, worst part.
Boom.
Well, Lena, what was your best part of the Hurt
well,
Locker Part 2?
My best number is father figure. No question. It's
I
the best.
I will be your father figure. Put your tiny hands on mine.
Like, I just love it. I think it's very funny. I think Sue has some of the best, like, I don't know. It's just so dumb. Like, her watching these concession speeches, like, freaking the fuck out is so stupid. And also, like, intercut with Noah Guthrie eating that up, like, doing literally so well. And just, I don't know. One
and
of
Noah,
my favorite.
And Noah Galvin cameoing Noah, as well.
Absolutely.
Broadway's own.
Broadway's own. And as my what's my best part? My best part is when Sue shows Becky the Hurt Locker and shows them the shows her the montage, and Becky going, "This is literally a dream sequence. How do you film this?" And like that it makes moment, no sense. It's so stupid. I love it.
It's so good.
Yeah, it's oh really good.
Gosh, I love that moment.
Ian, what's your best part?
I think my best number is All Out of Love. I just love Laura Dreyfus's voice, and I love the McCarthy twins, so I am very happy that we got them to feature together.
Yeah.
Oh, I also want to shout out, I just saw this in my notes, during It Must Have Been Love, when Kurt and Blaine are running down the hallway after being let out of the elevator, and above them in the hallway is one of those, like, what do you call them? Like announcement banners, you know, that you like plug electronic
messages
into.
None of you are hot.
None of you are hot. Very good. My best moment, I think Sue's show choir suggestions for Sam to make the worst show choir set list of all time.
Yeah. You love that. I love that.
And her saying that the first time she listened to Ascension Millennium, she literally could not move. Once again, I'm like, how do you come up with that?
Yeah.
Comedy is so much about, like, you know, it, I would say it's like 30% the idea, 70% the delivery of the idea. Mm-hmm. And what an incredibly creative way to say this song is bad. It's a masterwork.
I literally
could not move. That is hysterical. Wow.
It's very good. Hell yeah.
What's your worst part?
I don't have, no, my worst part is,
I was going to say, like, I have order, a worst part for this episode.
Order a pizza and some root beer and have a party. That's
and like
it.
Have a party.
And like have a party. Oh. That's my worst part. What's your worst part?
My worst part is just having Spencer secretly want to be in the Glee Club this whole time. And he was just too afraid he'd be bullied. As I said, not a bad plot line.
No.
But it takes away my favorite part about this character. And it's also something we have done before. So I didn't need it.
Word. Hell yeah. That's your episode on the Hurt Locker Part 2. If you guys have thoughts on this episode, did you like it? Did you hate it? Why'd you hate it? Did you love it? Tell us. Oh my gosh, I want to know. You can send them to recoveringgleek@gmail.com. You can follow us on social media. We're at recoveringgleek_podcast on both TikTok and also Instagram. And then we're at recoveringgleek on Twitter. If you want to support our podcast, we would love your support. We have a Patreon that you can join. We do bonus content on there every month. We just did the Hunger Games recently. Oh my God. Literally. And we've done like the High School Musical. We've done Hairspray. We've done fan fiction. All that is available to you as soon as you join the Patreon. You can listen to that, watch that, have a ton of fun. We're patreon.com/recoveringgleek. And if you're a part of our top tier patrons, our best friend of the podcast, you get a little shout out at the end of our episode. So now we're entering the shout out part of the episode.
It's my turn. So here we go. I'm about to do it in 15 seconds or less, and you can take that to the bank. A big Patreon, super exclusive, incredibly cool, wild and crazy thank you. To go. Anna, Billy, Jacob, Andrew, Maddie, Christine, AJ, Julie, Hannah, Kayleen, Venus, Kelsey, Abigail, Cammie, Hager, Blake, Matt, Magicians and Drag Queens, Weird, Aunt Rachel, Paige, Allison, MC, Natalie, Boo, Hagar, Quinn, Sabrina, Kylie, Ruth, Megan, Alina, Ashlyn, Audrey, Katie, Alexandra, Kylie, Dustin, Linda, Azza, Jaden, That Bitch, Care, Clem, Paul, Vicky, Hannah, Gemma, Evan, Keely, Sophia, Willie, Evie, Sarah, Danica, Shalane, Salty Boy, Hannah, Ellie, Eli, Zabana, Mary, Kay, Atticus, Brittany, Meg, Ava, Carolina, Reagan, Meredith, Colorio, Katie, Poopoo Potty, Josette, Tori, Amy, Marcus, Lowe, Ethan, Danielle, Maggie, Ian, Sutton, Madeline, Tiffany, Aulani, Rachel, Elise, Kieran, Diane, Ellerain, Jeanette, Benjamin, Suzanne, Blanton, Lola, Ben, Alice, Bay, Bama's Hand, Fanson, Nadia, Savannah, Fadia, Meadow, Nicole, Joseph Jackson, Tori, Galley, Caitlin, Patrice, Garbage, Maddie, Abby, Kristen, Story, Natasha, Liz, Eileen, Mariah, Manuel, Hannah, Matilda, Rebecca, Libby, Jordan, Andrew, Elizabeth, Christina, Dell, Ari, woo, Liam, Riley, Juliana, Elijah, Stephanie, Haley, Raphael, Marissa, Brynn, Taylor, Kimberly, Carlin, oh my gosh, Frankie, Dana, Finley, Margaret, Despina, Liz, Josie, Nash, Erin, Alana, Marin, Han, Phoebe, Kaylee, Caitlin, Megan, Emily, Aria, Jeremy, Beatrice, Ava, Haley, Emily, Anaya, Michelle, Lauren, Marcus, Lisa, I Am Four Eyes, Jacqueline, Spencer, Elsie, Troy, Mallory, Meredith, Phoebe, Hannah, Lauren, Laura, Ray, Emily, Alyssa, Lily, Melanie, Yanula, Samantha, Sam, Aubrey, Kat, Kelsey, Haley, Emily, Leah, Kelsey, Isabel, Amira, Thomas, Trisha, Cyrus, Brittany, Victoria, Aaliyah, Naomi, Haley, Robbie, Kenzie, Rhiannon, Ashley, Roman, Michael, Andre, Katie, Will, Elizabeth, Freddie, Sinead, Emma, Alice, stop.
You're not going to like it.
Was it under 15?
Yeah.
Oh, that's bad. 137.
Well, we did add, we said this last week for mine. We did add, we have had a lot of patrons join recently.
Added quite a few. But was it 17 seconds worth? I don't know.
Who's to say?
I don't know.
Well, everyone, thanks so much for being here. We love you so much.
I also want to apologize to Hagar. I literally said the name and immediately was like, that was wrong, but I was moving too fast.
I know. And you went back like 10 names later.
Especially because Hagar sent us an email being like, you pronounced my name right. I'm so proud. And then I was like, wow, I really undid all the goodwill there by immediately not pronouncing it correctly.
I'm love sorry, you, Hagar. Well, we all love you so much. We love you so much. Thank you all so much for being here. I love this episode a lot. And thanks for being here. Just listening to us say lines from this episode.
Heck yeah.
It made me so happy to do. So I really appreciate it.
And up next, we got What the World Needs Now. And a little birdie told me that we might not be alone.
Oh my God.
We might have
who's going to be guests here? I don't
on
know.
The podcast to talk about it.
We'll see.
So check us out next Wednesday for What the World Needs Now.
Hey, we'll see you guys next time. Here is a kiss on your forehead if you accept it.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Recovering Gleek. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at recoveringgleek_podcast. If you liked our podcast, be sure to leave a review and tell your friends, please.
I watched But I'm a Cheerleader. I texted you about this. Uh-huh. Oh my God, so that movie good. Is so good. So if you guys good. Haven't watched that movie, you need to watch that movie. It was like life-affirming to behold. Yeah. It's like a perfect balance of watching something that obviously is like, this is a real thing. Like conversion therapy is a real thing. And like camps where people go to like cure their gayness. It's a real, real, real thing. But it's like campy and silly and very clear that these are the bad guys. And like, this is a thing that, is not successful. And like, something that like makes these people's lives worse. And I don't know. I just, it's such a good balance of that. And also being hilarious and really beautiful to watch. Like, and also just like a beautiful love story. It was, oh my God, so perfect. Like one of my favorite movies ever.
I always think of Natasha Lyonne doing the cheer, doing the like, cause I believe that this is fate to what's her face? Very famous lesbian actress. Clea Duvall. And just like sobbing while watching it.
Yeah. Which like, it's one of my favorite moments of that whole movie is like after they're together and she talks about how she loves cheerleading. And then when she asks like the two gay guys, like, how do I be a lesbian? And they say like, just be yourself. And then her being herself is what like solves everything. I fucking love that.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.